Hey everybody, Steve Fretzen here, and we've got so much for you guys coming up. We've got Be That Lawyer, the book, 101 Top Rainmaker Secrets to Growing a Successful Law Practice on Amazon. We have Be That Lawyer Coach's Corner with Steve Fretzen as a second podcast. And of course, if you're enjoying this show, Be That Lawyer, continue to check them out and tell your friends and give us a kind review and enjoy the show.
You're listening to Be That Lawyer. Life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Each episode, your host, author, and lawyer coach, Steve Fretzen, will take a deeper dive, helping you grow your law practice in less time with greater results. Now, here's your host, Steve Fretzen.
Hey everybody, Steve Fretzen, and welcome to Be That Lawyer. We are the show for lawyers who are looking to grow, looking to scale, looking to learn the business side of this whole crazy thing called the practice of law. And we've been doing this for 17 years, working with lawyers all over the world, helping them to learn the stuff you didn't learn in law school. If you guys don't know already, Fretzen does only two things. We do coaching and training, a pretty involved program to get people to double, triple their books of business, stay sustainable through the rest of their career. And we also work with amazing rainmakers, people that are running 10, 20, 50 person firms, putting them in a room with other smart managing partners, rainmakers in our Rainmaker roundtables, and they absolutely love it. In fact, I just had someone leave and then just email me and said, hey, I need to come back. I miss it. I shouldn't have left. It was my mistake. And I was like, yes, it was your mistake. That's okay. We're happy to have you back. You're listening. He's not. Anyway, I've got Jerry waiting in the wings. How's it going, my friend?
Fantastic, Steve. Thanks for your time today. I'm honored to be on the podcast. So excited.
Yeah, we're going to have a really good time. We got a lot to cover. And let's start off with our quote of the show. Now, there's a book called Eat That Frog. I think it's who wrote that book? Brian Tracy. But I think the original is Eat a Frog, and that's Mark Twain. So correct. Welcome to the show and tell us why that is your quote of the show.
I always learned from people that have a great deal of experience than I do. And I've always tried to emulate them and pick up and be a fly on the wall. So when I started out my career in elder law 25 plus years ago, I remember being at a conference and we were just in the hallway talking to people and they were trying to get good practice ideas or business building ideas. And one of the participants mentioned, the first thing you should do in the morning is eat a frog. And I always took that to heart. That was probably told to me again, probably 27, 28 years ago at this point. And when I was a baby elder law attorney and I was like, well, I had to understand and interpret exactly what that meant for that person. And they explained, you know, if you take care of something first thing in the morning and that you really know needs to get done, but you don't really enjoy doing it, but you know it's going to be painful. But when you finish that task, if you do something from 7 to 8, you have the next 8-10 hours available. And it's like the rest of the day is a piece of cake.
Yeah.
Because you feel good about yourself that you accomplished something that you know that you really didn't want to do, whether you needed to talk to this disgruntled client or whether you needed to do something that would be out of your comfort zone or write a newsletter or do something. And so that's I've taken to heart and it truly works. Do something in the morning that you know needs to get that you have to get done, but you kind of dread doing it. And the rest of the day is a piece of cake.
Yep. And that's why I'm talking to lawyers all the time about business development and getting it done early, not only because it's sometimes the hardest thing for them to do during a day, but if you think about it, if you wait till the end of the day and then the day gets hijacked, right, then what's going to get pushed out and down in a way?
Exactly.
It's going to be the BD. You know, so knock it out early, right?
Yeah. Get those emails out, you know, write that blog, put together a video. You know, I'm an early riser. And so to me, it comes natural, but I know not everyone is. Yep. But get stuff done, get those emails out, reply to those emails, because the day just will get away from you once 9 a.m. hits.
Yep. I love it. Well, listen, everybody, you're going to have a great time today. We've got the managing partner of Rothkopf Law Group, Jerry Rothkopf, here with us. And, you know, listen, we were introduced by our mutual friend, Phyllis. We are both provisors people. Phyllis is amazing and she's, you know, beloved in the provisors universe. But let's get down to your background. How did you come to be a baby lawyer to now the managing partner of a firm 25 years, I think, right?
Yeah. So, it's a progression. I can't say there's one magic pill I took, but I was back in the late 90s, I was still practicing personal injury law in Center City, Philadelphia. And towards the latter part of my career there, I started getting a couple cases with older adults involving healthcare, nursing home bills. And I also had a background in suing nursing homes. And I realized that I did not enjoy litigation. I did not like the monotony. I didn't like a lot of what I thought was useless work involved in litigation, just to litigate and bill on the file, so to speak. So I decided that I wasn't interested in doing personal injury work. And I went to a seminar, full day seminar, just happened to be a few blocks from my office in Center City, Philadelphia. It was a National Elder Law Conference. And I was there for about 6 hours, didn't know anyone, but I thought, wow, these people are so passionate about what they do for a living. And I started, and I said, I came home that day since it was local. And I said to my wife, and I had 1 year old twins at that point. Twin girls who are now 27, identical girl. And I said to my wife, I think I want to do elder law. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I think it's going to be really cool. Part of it was a marketing exercise and for practice development with one-year-old twins who are quite hungry and a wife who was working from home because she stopped teaching to raise our daughters. And I said, you know, I think I'm going to do elder law. This is an expanding population. There's not too many attorneys who do it right now. And obviously the expanding older adult population in this country. So I put out a shingle about 6 months later in February 2000 and opened an elder law practice with me, myself, and I, and, you know, the bottle washer, and I did everything as you do as starting a business. And now we're 48 full-time equivalents.
Yeah.
And now we're probably we turned ourselves into the largest boutique elder care law firm throughout Philadelphia region in both in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. So, and, you know, I had a lot of support along the way, but, you know, hard work, certainly, and surround yourself with good people, and eventually it will breed success. And, you know, you mentioned when we were started talking the first time, when we first met, you used the word luck, and a little luck along the way as well.
Yeah, but luck. So let's talk about luck, because that's an interesting word. And there are people who point at someone and say that person is successful because they got lucky, or that person's so lucky because of something, you know, that they're jealous of or whatever. But how do you see luck playing in the role of, you know, from nothing to, you know, 25 years and 48 people and the success that you've had?
You create your own luck. Luck just doesn't happen. You will not get lucky no matter what type of business, including being an attorney sitting at your desk 24/7 hoping the phone rings.
Yeah.
You create your own luck. And that's getting out of the office and meeting people and getting out of your comfort zone. Most attorneys do not enjoy the marketing aspect of a practice. They enjoy lawyering, but not marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed both. And you've got to get out. You got to meet people. You have to invest in yourself. And so, you know, with Woody Allen's expression, certainly is true. You know, with what 80% of your success is just showing up, something along those lines. Put yourself in the position to succeed. And then volunteer for stuff. The first time I remember, I went to a Philadelphia elder law conference and they knew I'd do the elder law, but I really didn't. It was like 6 months in. They asked me to be on a professional elder law panel for continuing education credits. I was shaking in my boots, but I said yes. And what I was offered the opportunity because I went to this noon brown bag lunch in Center City at a law firm. I didn't know anyone, but that's an example of putting yourself in a position to get lucky and to be able to say yes when someone asks you to volunteer for something. And that was the first speaking engagement in front of lawyers I probably ever did about maybe 24 plus years ago.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting too is that you say yes and to put yourself in a position to be in front of people and to be out there, right? And to be active in the Bar Association, the Chamber of Commerce, any of the places you need to go to start getting your name and brand built. And then 25 years or maybe even last 10 years, 15 years later, you have to become really good at saying no, because now you're being asked to do all these things and now you have the business and you have the billable hours and you have all these pressures and you have to turn this yes thing that made you so successful into being successful through the word no. Are you in line with, you're smiling, so you're in line with me on that?
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, if your name is out there, you're going to be asked to donate to every gala. You're going to be asked to be on every panel out there. You're going to be asked to, you know, do you want to speak here? Want to speak there? So obviously it strokes your ego, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you do have to learn to say no. And you do have to decide, you know, to what to say yes to. Yeah. And maybe even more importantly at this point, what to say no to.
Yeah.
But you're right. And it's hard. But I mean, part of it is having others. We have 8 attorneys in the office. We have 8 geriatric social workers. And so we have death doulas. We have veterans benefit specialists, health insurance specialists. So we have these great deal of non-traditional law firm staff who specialize in long-term care advocacy that can cover that and probably do a better job than I can at this point in many ways.
Yeah. And it's interesting, the getting to a no, and I think part of it has to do with, you know, looking at your time, prioritization of where your time is best spent. And then the thing that I talk about constantly with my clients is qualifying. So what does that mean? Qualifying, what's the value of this opportunity? How does it fit into my day? What do I have to give up to do it? Is it direct? Like, I'm speaking in front of a room full of lawyers, right? As it, me and my business, versus speaking in front of a room full of entrepreneurs. Well, one of them is a room full of direct potential clients and the other is a bunch of maybe potential connectors. Well, one is going to be far better than the other. So I think we have to look at prioritization and qualifying and then figuring out, like, you know, what's the best use of our time. And I know you're super busy doing all these different functions within the firm. How do you then figure out how your time should be spent?
Well, first of all, you have to be structured. So you have, and I will, you mentioned Phyllis Sissonwine, who's a superstar. Phyllis Sissonwine has been my business coach for about the past 23 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So one way is to hire a coach. I think everyone, especially attorneys, need a coach. They need someone who will give them a kick in the butt and help. And basically many people are poor at time management. So you need to be structured. Get up early, get up by 5 a.m. Not everyone does that, but
At least six. Yeah, if you're getting up at 9 and 10 o'clock, I think you're missing a lot of the day.
Yeah, that's lunchtime, but sure. So, but in all sincerity, I think you need to structure your day and you need to use your time wisely. So everything should be structured. You should be scheduling first appointments at this time. Minimize the interruptions. That means minimize email, you know, don't check it. Don't keep it on your computer. You know, don't check it on your phone 24/7. That also means that you should, I do a great deal of, well, of course, now it's more Zoom, but I still do a great deal of phone calls with clients. Mm-hmm. But they're structured at the beginning or the end of the day.
Yeah.
They're not structured at 11 a.m. or 2 p.m. That kills the whole morning or afternoon. They're structured from 4 to 5, something like that.
Yeah.
So you have to have certain slots. And then you need to use technology-wise, you need to use your time-wise. If you're driving in the car and you're driving 45 minutes to do a seminar, I'm going to schedule a call along the way. I mean, some people, that's not for someone. But also, when you talk about you prioritize, well, the first thing you have to decide, how do you define what's a priority for you? You know, maybe a priority is non-monetary for some people too. So some of the things we do, it's just about giving back.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's a good referral source that asked you. You're doing a courtesy to that referral source.
Well, don't forget about health. Like, I got up this morning as a priority at 7 a.m. and did Pilates. I've been doing Pilates coming up on 3 years. Well, why is that a priority? That's not a business thing. Well, that's my battery. That's my health, right?
Right.
So I think we have to look at all the different priorities. And I love the idea that you're saying structure and organization, because if you... You know, the question I would put out there is, did you have the day or did the day have you?
Right. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'm not perfect. And sometimes the day does get me. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Happens to us all.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it starts out the night before. It starts or the evening before. You have a to-do. You write it. I still write. I'm old school because it helps me decipher and think and put it on paper. Mm-hmm. I write out my to-do list for the next day.
Yeah.
What I want to accomplish, whether it's from a marketing perspective or just working on files, doing staff development, talking to my office administrator, whatever the case may be, I put it on my to-do list for the next day. The top 5 get priorities. The bottom 5, okay, if I don't accomplish everyone, it can roll into the next day.
Yeah. Hey, PI attorneys. If you're serious about scaling your firm, there's one event you can't afford to miss, PIMCon 2025. Happening October 5th through the 8th at the Phoenician Resort in Scottsdale, Arizona, PIMCon isn't your average legal conference. It's an experience. Learn how to take your firm from good to goat with some of the biggest trailblazers in the PI space, including yours truly, as we share our elite marketing and brand building strategies. Tickets on sale now at pimcon.org. That's PIMCON.org, or just hit the link in the show notes. Your climb to the top starts at PIMCON 2025. Let's go from good to goat. Hey, Be That Lawyer friends. If you're looking for smarter ways to grow your law practice and want to stay ahead of the curve in legal tech, business, and strategy, then it's time to check out Legalverse Media, the go-to hub for lawyers who want more. This international platform connects you with global thought leaders through articles, podcasts, webinars, and interactive forums that are shaping the future of law. Explore everything with a free 14-day trial, including early access to tools, peer discussions, and a chance to build your brand as a thought leader. Don't wait. Visit LegalverseMedia.com and register for membership today. Hey, everybody. It's Steve Fretzen. As the you know, I'm the host of the Be That Lawyer podcast. And if you're serious about growing your law practice, let's talk. I've coached hundreds of attorneys to build bigger books of business without selling, chasing, or wasting time. This isn't a sales pitch. It's a real 30-minute strategy session to explore what's possible for you in your practice. Just head over to Fretzen.com and grab a time that works for you. And let's make this your breakout year. Well, I think you've hit a lot of high notes. So organization, delegation, automation, prioritization. I mean, these are all great things that lawyers may be missing the boat on. Is there a secret to getting started to be an organized person? Because I think there's people listening that are hair on fire, fire hose in the mouth all day long, every day.
Well,
right? Tough.
Well, you got to delegate. Okay. So yeah, that means
so maybe making a list of the things that are delegatable.
Sure. Anything, you know, and it's all, I would say it all goes back to a business coach.
Okay. So, okay. Well, you know, all right. How can I argue with you, Jerry? Because you're making so much sense. I mean, so that's where planning and process and systems and organization can happen if you have the right coach.
You know, and it's not just that, invest in yourself. You know, the most bar associations offer time management classes. So it's not just a coach. Like, I took a class through the New Jersey Bar about time management, especially related to emails, which were driving me crazy. Mm-hmm. How to manage your time related to email communication.
That could bury you very quickly.
So, yeah. So, I mean, these courses are offered as a practice development tool. Sometimes they're free. You mentioned it could be your county bar association. It could be your regional networking groups can offer them. Chamber of Commerce, as you already mentioned, can offer them. So there some even some like small community colleges may offer free courses for yourself or your staff in businesses, in business development and such, and time management. So
there are also specific coaches. Sarah Reef Hecking, for example, Dan Warburton. These are coaches specifically for time management. I do time management, but it's not the theme. It's not like, you know, I'm not only a 6-week course on it, and, you know, but they're in their books, Getting Things Done, Atomic Habits. I mean, there's a lot of resources.
Right. And also I love what I do because I get the privilege of working with older adults and those with chronic disabilities, and I help to advocate for them. And we have a whole holistic team who are devoted to advocating for these individuals. So, but what I've learned earlier in my career is there's hardly any original thoughts left in this world. If no one has an original thought, you get your ideas from someone else. So, and that's really how I built my practice. And so when I put out my own shingle and said I did elder care law, I probably attended 4 to 5 national conferences annually over the first 5 to 10 years. And that's how I learned to develop the practice. That's how I learned the value of a coach. That's how I learned what tangible services I can offer and how a geriatric social worker can benefit the practice and our clients. I just learned from people far smarter than I all over the country and just a fly on the wall the first 5 years. So, and most attorneys are not willing to do that.
But I think that could be one of the three top takeaways from this podcast so far, and we're not done yet, is the concept of there are people who have done it before you. There's people who have been successful before you in your area, out of your area, in different areas of organization and business development, all that, coaches, whatever. And what are you doing to learn from them and to emulate them? Because you don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's been done. But I don't know that people are digging in at the level. Like, I'm a podcaster, but I love listening to podcasts. And the podcasts that I'm listening to, generally speaking, are ones where I can learn from the smartest people in the world.
Right.
And I'm just trying to take one or two things away from every podcast that I listen to that gives me a different perspective or gives me something that I can emulate the way, you know, someone might emulate. You know, I was just talking with a client about Goggins, right? This guy who's crazy, fanatic, you know, health guy, and, you know, just motivational. And like that, that's what he needed to emulate. I've got other people I emulate. So, and you do too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you just try to emulate people who you perceive has something that you can benefit from or contribute.
Yeah.
Give them a call. I mean, you know, if there's someone, who, especially those who don't practice in your area, in the same area, so you're not in competition.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I've done. I mean, elder law attorneys love to share information. They're very excited, especially if they don't work in your geographic region. They wouldn't perceive you as competition. Reach out to them.
Yeah.
I also, when I got started, for example, I visited a gentleman in Nashville, Tennessee, who already put together the type of office we wanted. I spent 2 days in his office, basically just shadowing him around and then build a practice based upon what I saw.
Yeah. There's an attorney that I talked to the other day who's 28 years old. He's bright and energetic and has already done more marketing and business development at 28 than some lawyers will do in their whole lives. And he's thinking of joining an estate planning firm to learn estate planning. And I'm thinking, okay, I get that because that's a great way to learn. But he's so entrepreneurial. I was like, why don't you just like partner with a couple of really seasoned estate planners, do some work for them, learn from them, get that free education by doing work for them, right? Get paid hourly or whatever to learn it. And then you can keep the, you know, the practice, because this guy's not going to work at a firm long term, I could tell.
Yeah, if he has that truly entrepreneurial spirit, he probably doesn't want to be told what to do and how much he can spend on marketing, et cetera. Yeah.
So if you had to give one final tip to or advice for lawyers who maybe they're great at what they do already, they're considering opening up their own law practice in the area of focus that they're already great in, what's an advice that you would give them to inspire them to do it or just things that they need to do to get started?
This isn't for everyone, but take a leap of faith. Have faith in yourself. Because when you hire your first paralegal or administrative assistant, they may make more money than you make. Mm. But it's the power of delegation. You can then network, do more one-on-ones, attend bar association functions, attend national conferences where you'll meet brilliant people from all over the country that you can then bring back. And then guess what? You know, you can then charge for it. Because 95% of the people who do what you do in your area did not attend that conference. And that has value. That has value to that potential client you're sitting across as well. So don't discount the value of conferences. Don't discount the value of delegation. But you have to, it also takes money. You have to invest in yourself. So if you're, you know, from a dollars and cents perspective, before you start on your own, make sure you have a sufficient line of credit.
Yeah. Well, line of credit, I think if you can bring some business with you as a way to buffer it. And
yeah.
Also keep in mind, like there was a day back in your time, right in my time, where, you know, you had to have a full-time receptionist, you had to have an office, you had to have all these things where now you really don't, right?
I mean, you do and you don't. It depends on your area.
Okay. We'll put that out there. But
yeah. Sure.
There's still virtual offices and there's taking an office in someone else's firm where you have a conference room and there's a professional environment. But I'm just saying, like, it's not a prerequisite or mandatory for someone to have 20, 30 grand, you know, ready to invest day one in a big expensive website and all the things that were sort of more mandatory back in the day.
Sure. I mean, you can certainly with technology today and virtual offices, you can certainly punch far above your weight. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no doubt.
All right. Let's talk about what I like to call failing forward. We all have moments in our lives, in our careers, personally, business, where we fail at something. We make mistakes. We, you know, we hope they're not critical, but sometimes they are. And then what do we learn from them? And what's an time when you feel like you failed forward?
Well, that's the only way you're going to learn. I mean, you know, and then we talked about this when we first met. Building a practice is easy. In reality, I mean, I might say it's simple, but it's when you start out with nothing, that's not difficult to build a practice. It really is not. If you're personable, you're smart, and you have a drive, the more difficult part is managing the growth of that practice because that can eat you alive. So I think, you know, I think that was the difficult part for me, that why couldn't everyone think like me when I hired people? Why couldn't they have that same work ethic?
Even
attorneys.
You're so on the money.
I think the first couple associates I had, I thought had to be like me. They had to get up at 5 a.m. They had to get in the office early. They had to eat lunch at their desk. And like, why couldn't they be like me?
Yeah.
And then I realized because they're not me and they never will be. And sometimes good is good enough. You know, the art of perfection will stifle you.
Yeah.
So I think one of the key lessons is, they may not do it as perfect as you would or exactly like you, but good sometimes is good enough.
Yeah.
Good is
sometimes
good enough.
Exactly, I like that. Like good is sometimes good enough.
You do it.
Yeah. And perfection is the enemy of good.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, really important. And I have a lot of client experiences coming into my head as we're talking through this, because I just had another client who said, I just can't find, like, he's going to meet with me one-on-one to talk about this, but he's really struggling with recruiting because he goes, everybody I'm interviewing is a bozo. Like, there's nobody that he's meeting with that just impresses him anymore. It's like so frustrating for him. And so we're going to sit down and like come up with a plan of a variety of different ways to try to, even recruiters. He hates recruiters. He's like totally off on them because he just feels manipulated by them and that they're no better than he is to find people. So,
I mean, yeah, I hear what you're saying. There are good people out there.
I'm friends with a bunch of recruiters and they're amazing and they care.
Yeah.
But again, it's like sometimes one bad apple spoils the bunch. And when you have a bad experience with a marketing agency, a bad experience with a recruiter, something that turns your stomach, it's hard to get back in there and try again.
It is. I mean, and when you talk about staff, if your staff is, constantly turning over, there's a problem. And the problem typically is you.
And so. I'm not going to say I can see that with this guy, but he is a personality that is very strong and I love him for that. Okay. But I think it makes it very difficult. Like almost I want to say to him, like, you should not be hiring anybody. Like you should be, someone else needs to, it's your firm needs to handle it, because I don't think you're going to be, able to handle, hiring with your standards the way they're set.
Yeah. So, longevity. I mean, we have a great deal of, thankfully, we have a great deal of people that's been with us 10 plus years. And you got to invest in your staff and we try to invest in them, not just financially, because that's not what always makes them tick. We also invest in education, take them to conferences, and just try to treat them well at the same time.
You guys, I hope you're all getting a lot out of this. I mean, we're talking about, luck and leap of faith, and we're talking about controlling your practice growth and making your own luck and all these great things that Jerry's bringing to the table. And I just feel it's so important, whether you're on your own or going on your own or not on your own. I think it's you, Inc., no matter where you are, whether you're at a firm or you're building a law firm. Really, really great stuff. Amazing. Let's take a moment to thank our sponsors. Of course, PIMCON coming up is the top personal injury event of the year in Scottsdale, Arizona at the Venetian. That's going to be PIMCON.org to check that out. We've got the Law Her podcast with Sonia, helping women be their best lawyer versions. And of course, we want to talk about Legal Verse Media, LegalVerseMedia.com, international publication online. You can become a member and get great, great content, be a part of that community. Check that out, LegalVerseMedia.com. Jerry, people want to network with you. They want to use your firm. What are the best ways for them to reach you?
Best way is our website, RothkoffLaw.com, RothkoffLaw.com. Or feel free, the best way to, with different email addresses and such, feel free to reach out to us. And there are no toll-free numbers there. Our email addresses are there. Be my guest. If there's any, our focus is, even for attorneys, let alone consumers, is to be a resource and for them. And because if you have any questions about elder law or any questions about building a practice, not just in elder law, feel free to reach out. I'll be happy to try to help you along.
Yeah. Well, now you're going to get inundated with calls, people that want to talk to you. That's okay. Listen, man, thank you so much for coming on the show. Didn't it fly by 30 minutes?
Of course. It always does, Steve.
Like an absolute
blank. This is great. We got to do this again sometime.
Yeah. Yeah, we will. We will. Thanks again, Jerry. And thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us for 30 minutes at Be That Lawyer. Be success. Emulate the people that are going to help you build the practice of your dreams. That's really what it comes down to. And there's a lot of people out there that have been successful before you, and you don't have to reinvent the wheel. So listen, to everybody, take care, be safe, be well. We'll talk again so soon.
Thanks for listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Visit Steve's website, Fredson.com, for additional information and to stay up to date on the latest legal business development and marketing trends. For more information and important links about today's episode, check out today's show notes.